Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to pitch it briefly to Luke of Dueling Tangents. Luke is the host of Dueling Tangents with Brian from 2 to 3. You got to listen to a great show.
Co-host.
Luke, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, I just wanted the last point I wanted to make. We had Mark from the SAC call in and didn't quite get to it in the last segment. But I just don't understand why we're laying the blame at progressives' feet on this one, because it seems like there was a lot of holdups on both sides. Like the Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema were stripping things out of bills. There was an agreement that we were going to have two bills on the same track, and they were both going to get passed at the same time. And then Joe Manchin went back on that, and Joe Manchin was kind of the one driving the fact that the hard infrastructure wasn't getting passed because he wasn't playing ball on the soft infrastructure. But if it was truly progressives' fault, Matt, why after the defeat in Virginia would all of a sudden paid family leave and some of the other policies that were stripped by Joe Manchin be put back into the reconciliation bill? I believe that the fact that some of those things got stripped out by Manchin and Sinema are the reason, and not seeing progress on those issues that people care about, like paid family leave, those getting removed from the reconciliation bill, the soft infrastructure bill, that is what caused some very, we're not seeing the enthusiasm. That was what the problem in Virginia was. Democratic voters were not enthusiastic, and you can argue that's because, obviously, it's because nothing got passed, and then we can finally go from there and say, okay, well, whose fault is it that nothing's getting passed? But to not pass a reconciliation bill with really popular things like paid family leave and having those stripped out, I think you have to look and see who was responsible for stripping those out, and that was Joe Manchin. And so I just don't understand how we're not talking more about the fact that we've got two people in this U.S. Senate that are really the ones not allowing this soft infrastructure bill to go forward, rather than saying the progressive caucus that is 60 to 90 members strong and pretty unified in saying we need to see what our priorities are to pass this hard infrastructure, the union labor, the paid jobs that you're talking about, and getting organized labor back to work and increasing wages there. I just don't understand how we're not blaming Joe Manchin more, I guess. And that's my thought on this morning. Okay. I'll let you take it away. No,
it's articulately put. And let me, and I think, you know, blame is kind of a strong word. Here's what I'm a pragmatist. I was the chairman of this party for two terms. And when things come along, you do the best thing you can for your party. Now, here is the fact of the matter of what's going on here. Manchin and Sinema are Republicans. Okay. They're not Democrats. Manchin's even talked about going to the Republican Party. And Joe Biden said, I only have 48 votes. I don't have their two votes. Now he's gotten Manchin to agree to some kind of a compromise. The way I look at it, you know, you're on the ship, in the Navy, you're going, there's a rock ahead of you. All right, you steer around it. I mean, so in this particular case, I don't blame progressives or anybody else at all for trying to fight hard, for getting, you know, everything that they wanted. But when it became apparent, you know, Manchin now has said he won't overrule the parliamentarian. The parliamentarian can say what's in a reconciliation bill, and she's saying nothing on immigration can be in there. I think he's against immigration reform. And so he's using that as a convenient thing. If he doesn't vote to overrule the parliamentarian, she ain't getting overruled. The truth is the parliamentarian can be overruled by majority vote. He won't do the filibuster. He won't do the parliamentarian. He won't do anything. I don't think he's in good faith. So what I'm saying is, if I see something that's not in good faith, do I at least put through the labor package with the wages for the $1.2 trillion, give Biden a victory, and keep slugging away? Because my fear, Luke, is this, that we're going to keep horsing around on this. The blue dogs in the House aren't going to vote for the soft infrastructure now. If this leaks along, if Kevin McCarthy becomes the speaker, what's going to happen when he gets sworn in is this. He's going to say, we have not voted on hard infrastructure yet. Soft infrastructure is off the table. The hard infrastructure, there's one part of it I don't like, even though Moscow Mitch ruled it is okay. I don't want union wages paid to these guys. That's what he's going to say. And that's a real danger. So all I'm saying to the progressives is, okay, you made your point. You don't have 50 votes in the Senate. You have 48 votes in the Senate. So what are you going to do? We're going to go to the lines. Randy of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Randy?
Good morning. First, this isn't really a call, but apropos of the infrastructure bill, I fearlessly predict that with a little more compromise, we'll end up with a $300 package, which will be enough to fill a pothole and maybe caulk the ceiling and people will stop it.
Good satire. Oh, my God.
The reason I called, though, is that Terry McAuliffe may have lost his election based on because it was so such a narrow loss, based on his remark about parents shouldn't be involved in education. And that was a case of just of imprecise speaking, because of course parents are supposed to be involved. That's why we have a PTA. That's why in grade school I would sometimes see teachers sitting in on the, parents sitting in on a class. But what he meant, and that was clear from the context, was that parents should not be designing the curriculum. Parents, especially parents who have a minimum education, may believe that humans and dinosaurs existed at the same time and are products of some of the worst school systems in the country, simply they think they have a lot more expertise than they do. But people don't get to go to the courts and tell judges how to run that. We don't get to go to banks and tell them how to invest our money. But somehow we think that we can tell schools that, oh, this is how you should teach.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. Randy is referring to a comment, and I'll tell you, I've been involved in campaigns. In the heat of the campaign, you can say stuff that you wish you'd said differently or not at all. And one of the things that McAuliffe did was said parents shouldn't be involved in, you know, basically the education of their kids. Of course, that was a dumb thing to say. It's not what he meant, and Randy's accurate in what he's saying he did mean. You know, in retrospect, if you could take that back and you could say, look, I have great respect for parents and they should have significant involvement. Obviously, we want professional educators writing the textbooks and picking the textbooks. And you don't have to get into insulting, for instance, somebody who's doesn't believe in science and all this. But what he did was went overboard on it. My question, though, because remember something, Phil Murphy barely got reelected. I can announce now that he did win in New Jersey by a whisker. But down in southern New Jersey, the president of the state senate, a Democrat who'd been in for a long time and a good man, got beaten by a guy who, a Republican, who was denied a concealed carry permit. And he got angry, and that's the reason he ran. He spent $150, and he knocks off the president of the senate. Something else is going on. And so I agree with you that McAuliffe made mistakes, but something else is going on. This is a very anti-incumbent year. And I am, there's going to be a tsunami in 2022 if we don't address this. Randy, excellent remarks as always. Thanks for calling. Going to Eastside Dave of Madison is next. And stay in line. Do not hang up. Eastside Dave, my friend, what's on your mind?
Hello. I was just hoping to lighten things up for a minute. Kind of a frivolous call, so I'll be brief. But why don't you go ahead and quarterback the Green Bay Packers, and while you're at it, become their official lawyer, and you're gonna get so rich you can light up your cigars, you know, with $100 bills, and you could put out a healthy down payment on Mar-a-Lago before they kick out what's his name. Gonna leave it there.
Yeah, thanks. You know, I'll tell you something. The last guy in the world that they want playing quarterback for the Green Bay Packers is this Matt Flynn. Okay. Baseball was my sport in high school, and I did go out for the football team, and I lasted just a little bit. And football is an excellent sport, and you don't want me on the field. However, the other Matt Flynn, and I threw that out a little bit in fun, but he was a heck of a quarterback. Yeah, Russell Wilson beat him out, and Colin Kaepernick beat him out on the Raiders. These were mega quarterbacks. You know, this guy is more than a journeyman. He's damn good. He's also not been around for 10 years. But Luke, he could walk on that field. He knows more about being the quarterback for the Packers than you and I do, right?
Yeah, but Derek Carr beat him out on the Raiders, not Colin Kaepernick.
Okay, whoever beat him out. Okay, you know too much football. Okay, thank you very much, Each Side Dave. Okay, next we're going to go to Wisco Paul. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good morning, Matt, as always. Thank you for taking my call. What I can't understand, if you're progressive, whoever they are in the House, you should be able to count. You are not going to hold Manchin and Sinema hostage. And you screw around with this long enough. And you should have passed the hard infrastructure right away to begin with. Now, they didn't do that. But then to mess around with this for this many weeks, you're making Joe Biden look inept here. His poll numbers are falling. In the end, Joe is going to have to show some leadership also, and he's going to have to get these progressives or whatever they are, the working party, or he's going to have to get these people are going to go, hey, this is what I want, and if we don't do this, we're going to lose. We may lose the midterms, and you're right. Heaven forbid we have McCarthy as the Speaker of the House. You're not going to get anything. It seems to me people have forgotten that you have to show some accomplishments. I am for this soft infrastructure, or whatever you want to call it, reconciliation. One of the most important things in that package is the voter bill. If you lose right. that, you may lose everything, for Christ's sakes. I am so sick and tired of watching what's going on. And I tell you what, some of this may be even Joe's fault. I don't know. But you need to get that hard infrastructure, and you need to get that voters package to or come to some agreement. Joe's going to have to step up to the plate and say, hey, I'm not going to be president in 3 years if we don't do something here, because if this doesn't get done.
Right. No, Paul, you're absolutely right. I'm being forced to go to a break. You just nailed it. You just nailed it. And thank you for calling in. Everybody else, hang on. I'll get to you later. Going to break. Line still open. 844-967-2789. Back after the break.